Nerdcore could rise up. It could get elevated.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 26 of the Double Knit Podcast. We were just being nerds.
We were just doing our vocal exercises before recording. Me. I've been watching too much Glee. Yeah.
So I was in Kansas.
Yes,
so
you were.
We're about a week behind.
But yeah.
Yeah. My turn for a vacation.
Yeah. Did you visit any yarn stores in Kansas?
I did. A really awesome one called Twist Yarn Shop. And it's really, Wichita is really weird because there's like nobody around. Like everyone has left the city for the suburbs. Yeah. So there's nobody around on the street.
At night and on the weekends?
Or during the day, anytime. There's like nobody.
Really?
You see cars, but we parked downtown and walked over to where the yarn shop was. We passed like two people.
Huh, that's odd. Okay.
Because my sister-in-law was saying that everyone just goes to the mall now. Like, all the shops have gone to the mall.
Because, like, aren't there still people there, like, for businesses? I know that, like, Washington, D.C., I remember being really freaked out that, you know, as soon as the business day was over, like, the city just empties. And there's no one on the street, which is just kind of weird. Because I'm used to, like, New York or Chicago, where there's just sort of...
People in nightlife and...
Yeah, and people live downtown.
Yeah,
and stuff,
I think people don't live downtown, but we parked near the transit center, and I never saw any buses.
Wow.
Okay. I saw, like, two or three people on the benches, but no transit. I was like,
weird.
That's weird. But Twist Yarn Shop was awesome. They were really, really nice. They had almost as many colors of Cascade 220 as we do.
Wow.
They had two or three tables, and they had, like, a white, like, big block painted on the wall, so I'm guessing they have, like, movie screenings or something there. And if you're in Wichita or Central Kansas, October 22nd through the 25th, I think it is, they're doing a yarn shop tour thing.
Oh, cool.
With seven shops.
That's cool.
So, yeah. Great. So they were awesome. I got some hand-dyed lace weight, which I don't normally get lace weight, but it was alpaca, cashmere, and silk.
Oh,
yeah.
Where's that from?
Colorful yarns.
Huh.
And I got a skein of her, like, semi-solid sock yarn, too.
Cool.
In, like, gray. My lace weight's, like, in teal. It's super pretty.
I'm all about teal these days, so.
Yeah, me
that
too.
Works for me.
So I was like, ooh, this is soft. I will take that. And while I was there, I taught my sister-in-law and my eldest niece, who's 8, how to knit. And then my brother wanted to learn how to knit, too.
Cool.
So. And they said they were going to listen. So, hi, guys.
Got everybody knitting. Hi.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then all 8 of us descended on the yarn shop, like, again.
Oh, fun.
Because I was just there with my sister and my sister-in-law the first time. So, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't knit all that much, but...
No? What'd you work on?
I took the Portland Tweed Fair Isle jacket.
Mm.
I got through the color section.
Uh-huh.
But that's, like, 50 rows. So
okay. But then the rest is just plain.
Yeah. So it started, though. And that's number 11.
Yeah. I'm a little jealous. I've been looking at some other things. I could sort of do something like it where I wouldn't make the identical sweater. Did we talk about this last time?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to make...
Because you were going to buy it because we got the color,
But I don't want to make an identical sweater to Erin as much as I admire her taste in sweaters. But I've been thinking about some other things, so I don't know.
Yeah, and then the other night I finished my Heather hoodie vest. That's number 10.
Oh, you did finish it?
Yeah. It weighs like 50 billion pounds.
Why didn't you bring it to knitting last night?
Because I need to block it again for the ribbing around the hood.
So is the hood crazy?
It's not that crazy.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't make it as tall. It's just really deep. And I think that's why. But it lays really nicely.
Oh, okay.
So.
Now, did you make the sleeves the same length that they had in the past? So, like, it's pretty short on the sleeves.
Yeah, pretty short sleeves.
So, yeah, I guess it's a vest. It's not a... jacket, so, okay.
Yeah.
Cool, so that's number 10 for you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I finished my 5 pairs of charity mittens, so I have no more Noro in my stash.
Very
and
nice.
My single skeins.
I think we need to do a shout-out to Monica from
Holy
Curly Girls.
Crap.
Who was doing the single skein September from
she
Stash
31?
And Burn. 31 items, and, like, real thing, like, hats... She did, like, 2 felted purses.
Yeah.
She
beer bottle cozies.
But she counted. She was legitimate. She, like, counted, like, it was, like, 2
per skein.
Cozies per skein.
Yeah.
So each pair was a project for her. But she was, like... on a machine.
Yeah.
She churns stuff out.
Did you see her picture of all her stuff laid out?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Pretty congratulations, impressive. Monica. Yes.
You better win that contest because you really, like, you brought it.
Yeah. Good I for kind you. Of petered out. But,
yeah, I didn't do that much, so.
So now I've got two other projects besides the Fair Isle jacket. Mm-hmm. I have anniversary socks for Noah, which will probably be done at Christmas, and a charity sweater. Kids charity sweater. I think I'm just going to focus on my Nanny Suemo dough because I just feel like I need to get it done so I can do all this other stuff.
What's next on the docket? What's number 12 going to be?
Either Cables and O's out of the felted tweed.
Right, okay.
That's from No Sheep For You.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because everything I've knit from that book has been in wool.
Yeah, I know, me too. I'm not going to be knitting any soy sweaters or anything, so. Yeah.
And then, so either that or do a top-down cardigan or pullover with my Miss Babs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or use it for a seamless yoke sweater, the Faro seamless yoke sweater.
That'd be nice.
I'm undecided. Because I know that the heavier weight yarn will go faster.
Yeah.
And then I'll just be done.
Yay!
But I'm going to finish.
So what are Noah's anniversary socks?
I basically took two socks from Knitting Vintage Socks. Well, I took the measurements from the plain men's plain winter sock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the cast on and all that stuff. He wanted, like, a plain sock in brown. Boring.
Man socks. Yeah, they're always with like this, that.
The side design is kind of like a lace cable panel from one of the kids' socks.
Oh, okay.
The citron pattern or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just doing a plain men's stockinette sock with that on the either side.
So, and what yarn are you using?
Valley Yarns.
Oh, okay. Is that
Huntington.
Something you got at Socks on it?
Yeah. Because it was cheap. It was like $4 a skein. Right. So it'd be $8 socks for Noah. Okay. So that's pretty good.
Cool. And your charity sweater is that same bulky one that you're doing in the Elan yarn?
Knitpicks.
Knitpicks. Okay.
Well, the Indies bulky.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. It's just a little hoodie cardigan. Okay. And I'm like halfway done. But cool. Yeah. I'm going to get my sweaters out of the way for Nanny Suemo.
That sounds like a plan.
You're on number 12, aren't you?
I finished number 11. My February lady sweater, which, so I had 1,000 yards of Sandara Aran Silky Merino that I bought from a friend of mine who is part of, like, a sweater club. So my friend Kim is really tiny, so 1,000 yards of worsted weight yarn would have been fine for her first sweater. For me, it was pushing it a little bit. And I knit the yoke very firmly because I didn't want that to be all droopy. And saggy.
Yeah.
So, and I probably should have switched to a bigger needle when I got to the could have switched to a bigger needle when I got to the lace section and maybe gotten a little bit more length out of it, but I didn't. And I like the finished look of it, but so the body, I started knitting down on the body, and then I had 5 skeins of yarn. So I was coming to the end of, or I got to the end of the third skein, and so I thought, well, I better see what I'm going to do here with the sleeve. So I put the body aside and just left on the needles and started knitting one sleeve with one skein of yarn and knit it to about the elbow. And then I weighed the yarn and saw that I'd used just under half a skein to get to that point. So I knew I was going to need a little bit from the final skein left over. So I knit the body until it looked like, you know, it was about time to start the garter. And I was, originally the pattern says 2 inches of garter stitch.
Mm-hmm.
On the bottom of the body, and then I started knitting, and I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll do, like, 1 1/4, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. So I have an inch of garter at the bottom of the body. So then I took the skein of yarn that was still attached to one sleeve and started knitting the other sleeve with it, got them to the same length, and then weighed them, and so I had, like, 6 grams for garter stitch on each sleeve. And so when I cast off, I literally had a tail that was like 2 inches long. And
I saw that.
I put a picture on my blog of all the clippings from it, and maybe 8 inches of yarn that I trimmed off this sweater. So, but I still feel like the sleeves are a little short, so I'm kind of like tug, tug, tug. But I felt that way about my Coraline too, like when I finished it, like, oh, the sleeves are shorter than I meant them to be, and I thought maybe it would stretch with the alpaca. And I wore it a couple times last week, And I really actually like the sleeve length because even though it's like a worsted weight alpaca sweater, mm-hmm. it's not too warm.
Yeah.
Because the sleeves aren't all the way down to my hands. And so I wore it like
a couple
times. I kept putting it on and I got so many compliments on it. I wasn't that sure when I finished it, like, does this work? Is this good on me? I got compliments at the shop. I got compliments other places where people were like, that's a cute sweater. And I'm like, thank you. So I'm really happy with that. That was cool. I started the featherweight cardigan, which from KnitBot, from Hannah Fettig. And that one, I swatched for it like months ago in a lace weight yarn that I didn't like the way it looked. It looked like way too loose and open, and so I'm doing it in fairy hair from Kimmetcroft Farms, which she's a little irregular in her labeling of her yarn. So this particular set of yarn, I think, is like 40% Angora. I knit my pie shawl last year out of one that was like labeled like Softy Light, that seemed like it was pretty much the same weight, but it had less Angora in it. And I also knit my leaf lace shawl, which was labeled that it was the same yarn, but I think it also had less Angora. So this one's definitely got more Angora than the other ones I've knit with. And so it's nice, though, because, you know, I'm knitting this lace weight yarn on a 6, but the Angora kind of fluffs up, and so it doesn't look so open, which I really like that look of it. Yeah. And it's so fuzzy and soft. And it's really well spun in that, like, I was showing last night, I was kind of rubbing it on my white project bag, and it was barely shedding at all.
Oh, awesome.
As opposed to, because Molly was asking me last night at knitting about whether I wear my diminishing ribs. And I said, I like the sweater a lot. I like the way it fits me, but I'm scared to wear it because I just like shed Angora everywhere because it's the cotton Angora from Debbie Bliss. And I might have told the story on the podcast. I was riding the bus with Wes one day.
I have a puff of fiber floating by your face.
Yeah, I just see like white tufts of stuff. I'm scared to touch other stuff. I'm scared to knit stuff. I don't want to wear it to work because I'm going to like rub Angora on everything at work. So I don't do that. And yeah, I just feel like I'm like a really shitty cat or something when I wear it. So maybe I just need to like wash it a bunch more times or suck it up because I like that sweater too. Where's that going with this? Anyway, but the featherweight is coming out really nicely. I've only got four. It's another one of these like I've only got four skeins of handmade yarn. So, but it's I'm just finishing the final row before I divide off for the sleeves. It's knit top down. I've got a really good amount of yarn left because I
like the color.
Yeah, it's this tealish peacock. Yeah, but it's got a lot of green in it. I was in the car with Amanda the other day and saw it for the first time in like direct sunlight, and it's actually really green. So we're alternating using two skeins because I'm sure I would get pretty abrupt color changes since it's all hand dyed. But so it's giving it sort of a very subtle sort of stripiness too, which I'm very happy with. So that's what I knit a couple of charity hats because I can talk about, we went to the movies this weekend and I needed something to knit in the movies. So I like gave myself like knitting homework earlier in the week that I had to knit the ribbing on two children's charity caps so I could just do the stockinette in the movie. And so I finished both of those. So I was pleased with that. Should I mention Oregon Flock and Fiber?
Yeah.
Because I went to Oregon Flock and Fiber.
Yeah, I was barely at knitting last night because now I have extra band practice, so I didn't get to really talk to anybody.
Well, and you had
stupid Noah
guest with you as well.
Oh, so. Audrey was with me. Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah. I missed my usual, like, 4-hour marathon of catching up with everybody after my vacation.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I went to Oregon Flock and Fiber last weekend before last, and the last couple of years I've gone with our friend Sarah, and this year she couldn't make it, and I thought, okay, well, you know, I'll go by myself, because I used to go by myself before that. And for some reason I got there, and I was like, oh my gosh, I bought so much stuff at Sock Summit, and I haven't knit any of it. It was a lot of the same vendors, you know, like Blue Moon was there, and Carolina Homespun was there, and a lot of the Oregon, Portland area vendors were there. And I'm like, looking at stuff going, okay, Lisa Susie was there, and I'm like, I've seen all of this, I've bought from all of these people already. So then I was like, oh, well, and I haven't been spinning at all lately, so then I just felt like, well, I'm not buying anything. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, if I'm not shopping, what am I doing here? So I walked through the fleece competition, which seemed really small to me this year. Like, I mean, there were maybe 2 dozen fleeces in the whole competition, which was odd. I mean, at least like for wool. And, like, there was a featured breed this year was Navajo Churro, and there were, like, two Navajo Churro fleeces in competition. It was, so I just, and then I walked through the craft area, and there was some interesting stuff in there. The theme was rugs, so Judy Taylor, who's actually a local, she does primitive rug hooking. She mm-hmm. had done a couple that were really amazing. And then I went through the barns and saw the animals and everything, and there was a sheep herding, I mean, a sheepdog competition, or demonstration, rather, mm-hmm. where they were using ducks, and so I got to watch a dog herd ducks for a while, cute. Which was really funny. And then I was like, I think I'm done, because otherwise I was just going to walk through, you know, I was already doing, like, mm-hmm. my second pass by all the vendors, but why am I even looking? Like, I don't want to buy stuff.
Yeah, I think maybe Sock Summit threw everybody off this year. Yeah. Because with the, you know, getting the fleeces in. And
yeah.
Like, because that was in August. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. But so I called it quits a little earlier than I normally do and went back up to Portland. And then, you know, I spent the afternoon with my family instead, which was nice. So we had a good time. But, yeah, so it felt a little like, a little funny. But I think it was just like Sox Summit just sort of stole a lot of my thunder for that whole thing.
The shopping.
And plus, it was my third trip to Portland in under 2 months, which for me is really unusual because we went there for, you know, the anniversary trip too. But it definitely has me thinking, like, I got to start spinning again. That was the one thing. Like, the last few years, I've brought my wheel with me. And then I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to drag my wheel out from the car all the way over here and sit and spin. Because I've done that previous years. And usually I just end up hanging out and knitting. But again, I'm like with Sarah and we, you know, just find people and we hang out and we knit. And then this year, since I was on my own, I was like, I should have brought my wheel. Because I could have just, you know, sat down in a nice shady spot and spent a couple of hours just spinning. Uh-huh. But I didn't. You know, it's just kind of a drag bringing it all the way down from Seattle.
So it was overall meh.
Yeah, so I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go. So, yeah, I mean, it was fine. I mean, I keep making it sound like really sad, but it wasn't. It was like, I saw it, I enjoyed it. I mean, I was there for three hours. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I walked in and just went, what am I doing here, and left or anything. So, you just like that idea of me being like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Stupid
like walking around muttering to yourself.
Hard going through a place like that alone, though, because there's no one to go like, hey, isn't that pretty? Ooh, look at that. You know, you're like just by yourself, so you kind of find yourself going, like starting to say something and realize, I am talking to myself. I will stop that now. Okay.
Do you want to talk about new stuff?
Yeah.
Before I move on to books and movies.
I didn't make a very careful list, but I know we both really like the Amigurumi knits. We finally got it from Hansi Singh. It's been back ordered forever. I don't know what the deal, because it came out a while ago. But it's
cute.
Some seriously cute stuff, like very clever knits.
I like the Kraken and the Jackalope.
Yeah, my son loves the Jackalope. And I'm looking at that going, that looks like a lot of finishing on that
jackalope.
Yeah,
that's the only thing is, like, I don't like finishing on toys.
I know, I hate
and
that.
And some of them have many, many pieces.
Yeah. Well, I wondered, like, I first started looking at a couple of them, like the earthworm, just as a for instance, and I'd be curious to hear if anyone out there has knit any of these. And I looked on the Hansi Gurumi group in Ravelry and did a quick search because with the earthworm, for instance, you cast on the length of the body, and then you knit, and then when you get to the end, you graft the live stitches mm-hmm. to the cast on it. Well, you pick up along the cast on edge and graft it all together, mm-hmm. which to me seems like a real drag, and I thought, well, why wouldn't you just do provisional cast on? It didn't seem like that was a skill that was beyond what was being written. I mean, the book is written assuming, like, you're doing all sorts of short rows, and you're doing, you know, it's not like a beginner knitter book. So I couldn't figure out if maybe there was a reason that she didn't want you doing provisional cast on. But then it also struck me that maybe it would be a good time to use sort of that Lucy Neatby toe chimney kind of theory where you would cast on in another yarn and knit a couple rows because it's in ribbing too. And and so you're supposed to be kitchenering in rib. So if I knit a couple of rows of rib in a contrasting yarn and then when I went to do the Kitchener, I could use that as a guide about where the yarn should go. Mm-hmm. Because I do have a really hard time trying to do any kind of decent-looking Kitchener in pattern. Like,
I've never done that.
It's hard. Yeah. I did, you know, like the hood of Rogue, I think for a lot of people was the first time they ever encountered it because you're actually grafting cables together.
Oh, boo.
And I remember spending like an entire night trying to graft it, and then you're flipping it inside and outside because I really, you know, like I wanted to always be looking at the stockinette part and flipping it and flipping it and finally just being like, ah, and just, it's good enough. And I know a lot of people got frustrated with it and just did a 3-needle bind off on the hood of Rogue. So I was wondering if there was a reason that people weren't just doing a provisional cast on for some of these things, or if it's just not a technique that she likes, or I don't know. So I haven't started any of those yet. I keep thinking, oh, I could do, you know, Loch Ness Monster or something, but then it's like, yeah, focus.
My
focus.
Sister, I told my sister about it, and she's like, you need to bring that for me when you come down to visit. So, yeah, she's sending me a list of things to bring her.
Anglerfish.
Yeah, it's cute. So the book I bought that's new is The New Stranded Color Work, because I love color work, by Mary Scott Huff. And basically I bought it for the kids' patterns, because while I find the adult patterns interesting, I would never wear them. Except I like the bean koi. It's a color work vest with koi fish at the top.
Yeah.
And I like those colors.
Well, I was going to say, what I said to Kathy the other day at work was that, given that it's a book about color work, I don't like a lot of the color choices. I think some of the patterns are really great, and especially, like, we were talking about, like, the bee sweater. The little girl bee sweater. And
I love that.
We didn't really like the colors on it. We think that, like, kind of wimpy yellow was just not...
Really? I really like those colors.
I mean, I love that green, but I just thought... I would have liked to see it in a sharper contrast.
Like
I
a more golden kind of, or something?
Yeah, I thought it was a little wimpy color, that, you know, kind of pale yellow. I don't know. But I felt that way about a lot of the sweaters, like a lot of the women's sweaters. Like, there's one in, I mean, I love a strong green, but there's one in this really almost like a neon-ish, like, green.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, that's
oh,
the
that one.
This really strong green that's paired with orange. Like, but kind of like a peachy orange, and then red and
neon.
Black. Yeah, and I just thought, really? Because I think, you know, in different colors, I might like it more. So this is definitely one of those books where I'm going to be looking to see what people do with it, because I want to see some other color choices. I like this the crow sweater.
The crow sweater, yeah.
Really cute kid sweater where there's sort of crows. It's a drop sleeve, so the crows kind of go up there on the top of the sleeves. Across the top of the yoke, and then there's numbers across the chest.
Yeah, I like the frog vest too. It's got a hood. It's a little boy's.
Oh, that one. Yeah,
kiss
that
frog.
And and this is one of the ones where I like the color choices a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a really cute one too. But
but the adult sweater.
Yeah,
just,
like that one with the Scotty dogs on it. It looks so 80s to me.
Yeah. I basically bought it for the kids' sweaters.
Yeah, but I like some of the adult sweaters. I just don't like the colors. Like this Mandarin vest one, the Lotus Blossom, the colors just make me a little heavy. It's very...
I was going to say barfy.
Yeah, it's very... Barfy. There's a lot of peachy colors in it. I mean, and I guess there's a lot... She's using mostly Dale of Norway, and there's a lot of peachy colors in Dale of Norway yarn. But yeah, or this, like this fleur-de-lis one that's with zebra stripe... That's done in black and white and pink, and it feels really 80s to me.
It does to me too. Like she just needs some poofy hair.
Yeah, like the mall bangs. And
yes.
Then, you know, she's all set. I agree with you. Or this one, the wedding bell actually kind of makes my heart flutter a little bit. It is quite stunning, but again, I think the color choices were kind of poor. I think she needs a little more contrast in her color choices.
Yeah, I think she's going for like wedding palette, very feminine, but
if you're going to do color work, you want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it doesn't need to be stark like black and white, but the contrast colors need to have a little bit more oomph to them, I think. But it is very nicely tailored, and the finishing is really interesting on it. But anyway, so I think there's a lot of really good, interesting stuff in it, but I would make a lot of changes on the color choices in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elisabeth Lavold's third Viking Knit collection finally came out, which a lot of people were looking forward to. And there's some, you know, it's Elisabeth Lavold, there's some great sweaters in there, and there's, like, a cool bag, and there's, like, cushion and blanket and lots of nice stuff that came out in that one.
Norwegian one with the spinning wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one's cool.
No, is it called Norwegian Knitting?
I think so.
Norwegian knits. It's put out by a Norwegian heritage museum in the Midwest.
Yeah, so there's lots of history and, like, backstory about spinning.
Personal and histories, too, of, like, the families that donated the items to the collection. But there's some really cool stuff in there. I mean, like, just really nice traditional Norwegian knits. Some of them translated into slightly larger yarns, too. So there's, like, a kid's traditional Norwegian sweater, but it's done in, like, Cascade 220.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it a little more accessible, where, you know, you're not going to be working on it for the rest of your life. And there's mittens, and there's a really... The backpack is on the cover. That's a really cute backpack. Mm-hmm. And that one even has, like, a couple of different... there's a variation on it, one that has, like, a lot of finishing and one that's really minimal finishing.
Yeah.
The new... Jane Slicer Smith finally came out from XRX. They've been the swing swagger and drape that they've been promoting like forever from XRX, and that's another book where it's like the colors just make me slightly ill. Like it's just not my color palette. Yeah, I don't know. But it was funny. Like at TNNA, for two TNNAs I've been to, they've been showing mitts from that book on the runway show. I mean, that's how long they've been promoting this book. And you know, the model would come out, and the whole audience was like, "Ooh." And I was like, really? You know, it's modular. It's not me. It's not my style. But I need to look at it a little bit more and see what else is in there. And
there's that Swedish knits book, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting.
That one is more technique than pattern.
Mm-hmm. And I also didn't like some of the color combinations in that either.
Yeah. I don't know if that... I meant to double check and see if that was like a reprint of an older book, maybe that had been published abroad. Oh, speaking of reprints, Schoolhouse Press... Oh, the Twisted Stitch Knitting finally showed up at the shop, which Schoolhouse Press reprinted, which from the Überli Ferte Strickmuster of the Bavarian Twisted Stitch. I know, I love saying Überli Ferte. They're also, they got permission to reprint Suzanne Lewis's book, and I believe it's just called Knitting Lace, and it's another one of these sort of historical things where she has a sampler piece from a museum collection, I can't remember where, that she's sort of broken down and charted out. And
oh, cool.
It's one of those books that, you know, was sort of a classic and everybody loved it, and then it went out of print, and then it was going for like $1 million.
Yeah. Trial thing.
People were buying them for crazy amounts on eBay or whatever. But so that's coming back in print in about a month, I think, from Schoolhouse Press.
Yay.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I love fall. It seems like everything happens in the fall.
Yeah.
And I get crazy, like, I want to do this, but I want to do that, but I want to do this.
Yes.
All over the place.
Have you been reading anything good?
I read a trashy romance novel that I picked up in the Denver airport because I had almost 5 hours of layover time because my first flight got canceled.
Aww.
Yeah, with the baby. So I couldn't have anything. I mean, I brought a book with me, but it was something I wanted to pay more attention to. So, trashy romance.
Cool.
Yeah, and Death at Gallows Green by Robin Page, which is the second book to the, what was it, the Bishop's Keep one that I read the last time that Sarah lent me.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
It's pretty good. Murder mystery set in Victorian whatever, and... Mm-hmm. This one, some of the characters, like Beatrix Potter is in it, and her animals, and stuff like that. So, kind of fun.
I started reading The Time Traveler's Wife last night. Finally. It's been sitting on my nightstand for like 2 years.
I read that book.
I know a lot of people do, and I started reading it, and on the first page, you find out he works at the Newberry Library in Chicago, and I was like, he's at the Newberry Library, because I used to live in Chicago, and I actually used to... I worked at an art museum, and the Newberry Library is a large private library, and they hosted an event every year where all the nonprofits in the city were invited to come and like set up a booth, and it was a holiday bazaar. The opera and the ballet and the Art Institute and all the different art museums and all these different art groups and like the American Library Association, all these Chicago nonprofits all would have like booths set up and do holiday sales there, and so I was like, Newberry Library, and then I was like, I didn't know this was in Chicago. I love Chicago. And it's like, it starts in 1991 in Chicago, and I'm like, I lived in Chicago in 1991. I love that. So now I'm like, why wouldn't I read this before? So
yeah, I don't know. It's really good.
But I've only read, like, I read the first chapter, so I'm not terribly deep into it. But anyway, I did that. I went to the movies this weekend. We went to see Toy Story 1 and 2 in 3D as a double feature, which was so much fun. And it's a limited release. I think it's only running for like 2 weeks. But I mean, I have watched Toy Story 2 like 100 times easily, and I freaking love that movie. I love it so much. I think it's one of the best, it might be the best children's movie that was ever made. It is funny, it has a great story to it, it has great characters and character development, and I mean, I cry every time I see that movie. I cry. Oh my gosh, I cry so much. Have you seen it?
Yes.
You know, with Jesse's story, I'm like, love that. But I just love that movie. And so it was so much fun. And they both lend themselves really well to 3D. Actually, like, right after the first movie ended and the intermission started, I suddenly remembered what the opening sequence was for the second movie and thought, this is going to be so awesome in 3D. Because it's the Buzz Lightyear video game.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked really good. It was so much fun to see it. And I had seen both movies in the theater originally, but that was like, the first one was like before.
A long time ago.
I mean, yeah. We didn't take the kids with us. I think the first two came out like before I had my second son even. And just it kind of reminded me of that idea of going to see a movie for a second time in a theater, which we just don't do anymore, yeah. You know, as a culture, it's like,
yeah.
Because if you want to see it again, you wait until it comes out on DVD and then you watch it at home. But when I was a kid, you know, it was like a big deal, like, oh, Peter Pan is coming back to the theater.
Oh, or, yeah, I remember
you know,
that.
We're going to go see, you know,
yeah, because I remember
Snow
seeing
White.
Bambi in the theater
right.
with
and
my brother.
They would get re-released every couple mm-hmm. of years, and it was like a big deal when the movie that you liked was coming back again. Or you, if you liked a movie, you went to see it a couple of times at the theater. And no one, I don't know. I knew someone who this summer went to see Transformers 2 twice, but I think he's got, like, serious mental health issues because he thought it was awesome, and I think he's crazy. But he's a grown-up. I'm sorry. If he was, like, 12, I'm like, right. Yeah, sure, it's
so
awesome.
So I worked at a movie theater in Ukiah, the only movie theater. Yes. And when Titanic was out, I worked there.
Oh, and then the...
So there was this senior lady who's awesome. And she came in every day at the same time, because it's so long, so there was like 3 or 4 showings a day. So she would come in every day for the same showing. She had exact change or whatever for her very small popcorn and small soda. And she came in every day for the whole run. It was there for like 3 months, because it did so well.
I mean, I think people of my generation, you know, remember going, like, you know, I'm sure Wes can tell you like how many times he went to see Star Wars when it was in the theaters.
Yeah.
And I think things had longer runs then. I mean, Titanic is sort of a rarity that it was, like, such a hit they kept in the theaters for a really long time. But nowadays, things disappear so quickly. And things, like, even this weekend, there were, like, 4 or 5 openings this weekend. Because, like, Whippet came out and the Toy Story thing and then the... I don't remember what...
Much is being produced that it just...
Yeah, it was, like,
crowds
this
stuff
huge
out of theaters.
Glut of films and... So, you know, it was still kind of rare when I was a kid, but I know, like, 40 years before that, it was a pretty common thing to go to the theater, you know, every week or something, and, you know, or certainly pre-television.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just really fun. It, like, just had a really different feel to go and see something that was so familiar, but to see it in the theater, and, you know, where they'd, like, cleaned it up so nicely and done such a good job with it, and they added a bunch of, like, funny business during the intermission. Yeah, so we stayed at the bitter end, because there's all the end gag, end credit gags and that one, so we wanted to stay and watch all that, and it was just really fun. So I recommend that. That was fun. and I also, we talked about this a little bit, but just the two of us, but I wanted to share, I finally watched The Tudors on Watch Instant, seasons 1 and 2, which...
See, I stopped partway through season 2, it was just too much.
Oh, okay, because I started watching season 1 ages ago. I watched the first episode, and I was like, this is too much mustache twirling and bodice ripping, I can't deal with this. Stupid. But then, I don't know, I was bored, so I kind of muscled through it, and... There's, like, way
relatively
too much,
better.
Yeah, like, way too much sex and too much... But it's just so funny. It's that Rome problem. It's like, gee, do you think Henry and Catherine of Aragon are going to work it out? I don't know. Or, you know, I'm a little worried about Anne Boleyn. I don't think things are going so well. It's like, when you know how the story ends. Plus, they really start monkeying around with the time. I mean, you know, Henry and Catherine of Aragon were married for 24 years.
Oh, yeah.
In this version, like... It's about 12 minutes, and then, you know. Anyway, so they keep Henry young through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a lot sexier, but is also, like, doesn't make any sense in terms of the timeline. But it's definitely, well, made me pull out my copy of Tudor Roses by Alice Starmore. Because I thought, Catherine Howard, I love that sweater. So, Because that, have you ever seen Tudor Roses? It's Mm-mm. It's an out of print Alice Darmore that I picked up for like $5 at the Fiber Friends at the Knitters Guild score. and it's she and her daughter, who she refers to like mysteriously as her apprentice in the book. It's like daughter. They designed a sweater for all of these figures of I mean, Henry VIII and his mother. Anyway, but there's like a Mary Tudor one, and then one for, well, something for all the wives. There's mm-hmm. And you know, there's one for Catherine of Aragon and Boleyn. And Catherine Howard is this crazy, like, super tailored. It's insane. It's an insane sweater. I love that sweater. Just looking at it in the book, I'm like, there's no way I'm ever knitting that thing. And I think the one that's most commonly knit for it is the Elizabeth one sweater, which
okay,
is...
Okay, I've seen that one.
Has texture up in the yoke. And she even has, like, a little history in there on each of the figures that she's talking... And she has this great... Actually, she has this really cool family tree that has, like, little... notations for like who got divorced and who got beheaded. There's like a little axe under everyone who got beheaded, which is hilarious.
That's awesome.
And but it's made me really want to like dig in a little bit more to real Tudor history. So I would also be looking for, if anyone has a recommendation on a good book about the Tudors that's like really about the Tudors and not about like who they all slept with, which is, I don't know. Anyway, so I'd be curious about that because it's got me kind of, you know, interested yeah. in it. It's a really fascinating
that whole
history.
Thing, yeah, that whole thing all the way through Elizabeth is like fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, just
so much upheaval. In
yeah, or even how
politics
the Tudors came into power originally is
yeah.
kind of is really interesting. I mean,
yeah,
and as Americans, we don't learn that much about.
British
about the
history.
Older English
yeah.
history. So in a weird way, it like sparked my interest for that, even though at the same time, I'm like, this is stupid. But whatever. I was knitting. It was fine. So what have you been watching?
L Word. I'm on season 3.
Speaking of bodice ripping, mustache twirling.
I know.
It's just... Yeah.
Yeah, it's so trashy.
It is really trashy.
I like it.
I like it too.
But like...
Waiting for the final season to come out on DVD. Yeah, yeah.
Season 3... Two nights in a row, like the first episode I watched that night had Sleater Kinney on it, and then
oh,
the next
yeah.
one had the B-52s.
Yeah,
so that was really awesome. I like that. So.
Yes.
Oh, it was like, did they have Sleater Kinney on there? Because I heard that. I was like, yeah, they did. I was like, oh.
That makes me think of Stash and Burn every time I drive, you know, past Sleater Kinney.
Oh yeah.
Here in Washington, because they. They used to use Sleater Kinney as their intro music.
Yeah.
So then I'm always like, oh, Jenny Nicole.
But I've been watching some music documentaries. I watched Nerdcore Rising.
I watched it too.
It's so good. Did you like it?
Yeah, yeah. I did. It
so
was a lot of fun.
If you don't know what Nerdcore is.
Which I did not.
Yeah. This documentary follows the guy,
MC Frontalot.
MC Frontalot, who coined the term Nerdcore, and it's basically nerdy white people, particularly, who rap about their interests.
So it's like
which
hip-hop
is like
music.
Computer programming. Magic the Gathering. Going to Star Wars conventions, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it follows his first U.S. tour, and they end in Seattle
mm-hmm.
at the, what's it?
Penny Arcade,
thing.
Convention.
Yeah. So he has a song called Penny Arcade Theme, mm-hmm. which is really, really funny. Yeah, and I actually had heard of him a long time ago, but it's hilarious because it's just really nerdy people
yes.
in a band together on tour.
They're pretty funny.
They're funny.
Yeah,
yeah,
I did enjoy it. I loved the whole segment when the one band member decides to teach the documentarian how to play Magic the Gathering because my older son loves Magic and
it's on like time lapse.
Yes. So it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes
of
later.
Explanation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But it's like I've been the person. I mean, I made Wes sit down and watch that segment because it was so funny. It was just, oh Lord.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's got little music video things in it.
Yeah.
It's really
It's really fun. And it's on Watch Instant
yeah.
on Netflix right now.
And then
now.
The other one I watched a while ago, which I didn't talk about, is We Are Wizards, which is about the Wizard Rock phenomenon surrounding, like, Harry Potter.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Like Harry and the Potters?
Yes. They interview Harry and the Potters.
Oh, really? Wes and my older son went to go see them when they were playing at the Seattle Public Library.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So it's all about that. And I'm not into Harry Potter.
No, you're not.
I'm not against anyone who loves it. My sister loves it. But I was just interested in, like, the phenomenon. And it's not just the music. It's people have fan sites and all this other stuff that has kind of sprung up around Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Watch Instantly. And that was good. Nerdcore Rising, I thought, was better just because I liked it more.
It's cute.
More interested in it. Yeah. And then last night I watched Wuthering Heights, which is a Masterpiece Theater thing. It's on Watch Instantly, mm-hmm. and it's the newest version of that,
okay.
which was two parts. Mediocre. I really like the one with Juliette Binoche and Ralph Fiennes.
I just remembered something else I've been doing on Watch Instant that I loved, which is the TV show Party Down, which is like a Starz original show. There's like 10 episodes, and it's a lot of people from like Judd Apatow stuff, so Jane Lynch is in it, who I love, and it's about like a catering company. It's really outrageous. There's a lot of fun people sort of popping up in it, and like a lot of people from Veronica Mars are in it. But anyway, it's really mindless, very silly, funny. So that was fun. And actually, yesterday I was home bored, and I was like, I wish I could watch Party Down some more because that was really fun. But do we have enough time to talk briefly about the whole Cold Sheep thing?
Yes. Let's do it.
On the Stash and Burn group on Ravelry.
Which I've been following, but I'm not joining.
Yes, people have been talking about this idea of, like, going cold sheep and, like, you know, and it seems like every year people come up with this whole, like, I am no longer going to buy yarn. And I have to say, well, okay, obviously I'm biased because I work at a yarn store and I sell yarn for a living. So when people say they're going to stop buying yarn, it makes me a little sad. But just as a knitter, it comes down to a couple of things for me. Like, A, if the problem is that you are irresponsible with your money, that is not a problem about yarn. That is a problem about you being financially irresponsible.
Yes.
And then if the problem... And then I look at it, it's like, it's yarn. I enjoy it. I knit it. I use it. I like it. If you're buying crummy, gross yarn and you're filling your house up with stuff that you don't love, I think that's a problem. But that's more of a buying decision problem and not a... yarn
that
problem.
Might go hand in hand with the irresponsible.
That's true.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear people talking about it, I'm just like, you know what? It's like, am I hurting anyone? Am I hurting myself by buying yarn? I mean, again,
I think
if I'm
you
not
have
being,
that weird hoarding disorder, then maybe.
But then that's not, again, that's, I don't think that's a problem about yarn.
Yeah.
That, you know, before yarn, it was like Hummel figurines or paperbacks or, you know, whatever it is. I would be more inclined to join a, like, I'm going to stop eating out, you know, more than once a week group because that will, like, save me money. It's good for my diet. I'm actually going to, you know, work on family bonding, and, like, I can see some actual benefits. It's like, how am I hurting myself or anyone else if I buy yarn for a sweater that I'm not going to knit immediately?
Yeah.
It's like, I just don't... Actually, and it's funny, too, because last night at knitting, I was saying, you know, I've done 11 Nanny Suemoto sweaters, and Rebecca was asking me how many were from Stash, mm-hmm. and so I went through, and a lot of them are from Stash, so I feel like, you know, I use my Stash, and I started checking how much I've knit from my Stash, and I did the knit meter thing, and so far this year, I've knit over 17,000 yards, and I only have about, like, just under 70,000, I think, in my Stash.
Yeah.
So, that's less than 4 years' worth of yarn.
Yeah.
Which, I know 4 years sounds like crazy, but I'm 39, so I hope I'll be knitting for more than another 4 years.
Yeah.
So, and that includes all of my, like, losing my head and going crazy and buying thousands of yards of yarn at Sock Summit. I don't know. It's like, but it feels like it comes up every year where everyone's like, I mean, I agree you should use your Stash. I mean, that's what it's there for. And I do use my Stash. But it's like, if I want something new,
I keep following that thread. I always have the, like, compunction, like, the urge to join that. But then I'm like, but why?
Why?
I like buying stuff, but I don't buy that much.
But
and I do knit really quickly.
Yeah,
so
and I think we both... I mean, I think you, especially, like, you buy stuff,
and
you put
it
in your cedar chest,
right,
and you do use it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not, like, immediately, but
I mean,
you
I've only been knitting for 2.5 years as well, but... So, my Stash has good rotation.
Yeah.
I think anything that's been sitting in... my Stash for that long I've gotten rid of.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. I mean, I think you should... And there's another thread that's like, I love my Stash, which I posted on that group, that list. Because I think you should love your stash. I mean, if your stash is taking over your house and it's like oddball skeins of yarn you didn't like or something you got on sale and it's not really a color you like and you just got it and you don't know why you have it, get rid of it. You know, yeah. Sell it, trade it, give it away. I agree with that part. I don't think you... I think if you force people to knit with yarn that they don't really like... Because they have it in their house,
then you take all the joy out of it.
Exactly, it shouldn't be like it's not a chore. It shouldn't be work. It's like I just don't get it. It's like, you know, what I spend on yarn in a year, I think, you know, some women spend far more on like shoes, and I just don't see the harm.
You don't really get entertainment value out of shoes.
No, you don't. No. And I, someone who used to come to Pearly Girls years ago. Talked about, like, sort of broke it down, like, how many hours of entertainment she got out of her yarn purchase versus, like, going to the movies or something, and talking about, like, how incredibly cheap it is, or even renting a movie, like, you get way more entertainment out of your
yarn. That's what Noah, I tell Noah, I'm like, think of the hours of entertainment in this one skein.
So I know I sound, like, angry, but it's just kind of funny, it's like, it comes up every year, like, you know... Usually comes up around, like, the New Year's resolution time, where people are like, I'm going to resolve to never buy yarn again, la 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 la, and it's like, why? Don't you like buying yarn? Don't you enjoy that? I would rather make a goal about, making stuff.
Yeah. But...
Than, like, saying, I can't buy anything, because then some people are like, well, I do need to buy two more skeins to finish this hoodie sweater. It's like...
But when you set up these goals, especially around buying stuff or whatever, and if you don't meet them and you feel badly, but you're the one that set the goal. I don't know. It's really weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, I should buy yarn when I feel like it. And then for long stretches of time, I don't feel like buying yarn.
Yeah.
And then I'll buy a lot. And then I won't buy any.
Well, so, maybe, I guess maybe also part of the reason I sound kind of like testy about it is that it also makes it sound like people who buy yarn or have a stash are somehow like bad or failing or like that there's like a problem there, and so basically I feel like in some way they're saying I have a problem, and it's like, no, I don't have a problem, I'm okay.
Because you love your stash.
I love my stash. I do think you should really love your stash. I mean, if there's stuff there that you don't like that you're never going to knit, get rid of it. It's just taking up space. It's like psychic energy, and
Yeah, that's like I got rid of pretty much all my lace weight except my Sundara, and like I bought that one skein.
Yeah.
That's going to be something really pretty. And
well, I, excuse me, I remember when I put everything into my, I know also people who are like, they won't put their stash on Ravelry because they're like embarrassed or they can't face up to
it. Who cares?
It's like, yeah, I don't care about it. But it was also, it was really good for me to go through it because it reminded me how much I love all the yarn that I have.
Mm-hmm.
It showed me the things that I didn't love that I could like say, okay, yeah, I'll sell that or trade it or give it away or whatever. And then it kind of got me thinking about, like, what can I do with this and getting my hands on it. And it just reminded me, like, I really love all this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I really like about my... I really like my stash. And every time I dig in there to pull something out, I'm like, ooh, I forgot about this. I love this.
I know, it makes me happy and inspired and...
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's just the craziness of, like, it's 11 o'clock at night and I want to start a new sweater. I can do that.
You can do
that. And I can choose from a couple of different things. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I just feel like we got to get rid of this whole, like, guilt around yarn. I mean, it's yarn.
Love
You're not
it.
Buying heroin or... I don't understand the whole feeling bad about it. Don't feel bad about it. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Enjoy
Knit
it.
Knit with it.
Knit with it. Yes. Yeah.
That's... I agree.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yay. Rant over.
So if you wanna follow either of those threads, they're on the Stash and Burn board on Ravelry,
and
on their group.
We have our own board, Double Knit Fans on Ravelry, and we also have show notes at doubleknit.net.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Until next time.
Yeah. I have another vacation coming up, but we'll work around it.
Yeah. So. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay. My turn.
Yeah. Okay, your turn to just disappear. Yeah.
I know, for months on end. Not okay. really. Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye. Rise up. It could get elevated. Nerdcore could rise up. It could get elevated. Nerdcore used to be just a made-up
word. MCs shied away from belief. Rest assured, they sleep hard no longer. We deliver the hits. I give the kids with the spectacle spectacular fits. I seen one nerd foam at the mouth in his glee. He was me in the mirror rhyming, brushing my teeth. And now the hazy wheeze off, don't babble 300 baud. I get no error while compiling my rhyme. The slipshod rap stylings of the hip kids continue to vex. They get sex, money, power, but the jams are like flecks of sea foam against the great reef of my boredom. I seen them trying to act cool, ignored them, scored some geeked out beats and the mic. Some jugglers I kick it with don't even know I rap. It's alright, cause soon the whole nerd core will congregate. And culmination of the monkey going off, caught dating. Nerd core could rise up, it could get elevated. Oh, and wouldn't all of those tough rappers hate it? If the nerd core rose up and got elevated, we consider the possibleness of this not overstated.
We put a style in the blender and the tape on the spectacles. We compile the assembler. We'd each make a respectable legal spangler. Your despicable heckling snide remarks make it all the more delectable to mark a Jekyll and Hyde departure from the larger norm or previous status quo. The clever dicks like us apply the baddest load to limericks, and that is no mere rhetoric. We don't just wreck shop, we mop the shop floor with rappers who romanticize the third album we've got for each. And we exceed your reach. We're worldwide web slingers with the confinement that every might of the girl guys. Dead fingers with his own gunman, and maybe Jonathan Edwin Warren from season 6 of DVS. We're geniuses and we're devious. We're seen as special. The BBS where we write graph and ASCII files with nasty styles and blink and blot. This ain't your father's Lincoln Lux. The fun a lot owns you.
It's Stephen Hawking rock source.
We're not even docking, so let it gap to dock all in the sock drawers. Our style's got the top score spot. Yours is not. Sorry, stick to the shockwave games, looking shots at the top 40. I made my own Doom Wad, Zedek Wad, my own sprites of news files. I stayed home nights.
Nerdcore could rise up, it could get elevated. Oh, and when all of those tough rappers hate it. If the nerdcore rose up, consider the possibleness of this not overstated.
Nerd, when you say it, you best say it with awe. Cause I'm the type of nerd that will bust your jaw. A nerdcore player, I've paid my dues. Got lowered suspension and chromed out shoes. Hear ye, in case you ain't heard. 2005 be the year of the nerd. Nerdcore gonna beat crazy large and the NIC pitch. The nerd's in charge. We bust more rhymes than Theodore Giesel did. Got more game than a 2600 for punk MCs who player hate. We got one word. Just a matter of time for your household name. So you best suck up now before fortune and fame. Put our asses out of reach of your quivering lips as we ride to the top on an Nerdcore tip.
Nerdcore could rise up, we could get elevated. Oh, and wouldn't all of those tough rappers hate it. If the Nerdcore rose up and got elevated, we consider the possibleness of this not overstated.
And I know that possibleness is not a crumb in a word. Every syllable injected is intended to be the one you heard. An absurd juxtaposition of mission and goal. Front a lot about to roll is diploma. Up tight and smoke it. Nerdcore's about to sit there till you poke it. Wanna pride it? Sing a fiddle kick while the smart kids calculate the hip-hop shit. Got a vast network of subversives and criminals who sit in front of the screens all heedless of ridicule these days. The complexion cleared up, but the rhyming remains. And I think the same thought with great regularity, that I'm the best MC that I could bear to begin. I'm scared to be either doper or dorky, or bound the high road even if it looks forky. Or
Nerdcore could rise up, it could get elevated. Oh, and wouldn't all of those tough rappers hate it. If the Nerdcore rose up and got elevated, we consider the possibleness of this not overstated. Nerdcore could rise up, it could get elevated.
Oh, and wouldn't all of those tough rappers hate it?
If the nerdcore rose up and got elevated, we consider the possibleness of this not overstated.